So I've recently been reminded of how truly privileged we are to meet together as a body of Christ and to open up his word, open up the word of God together. You know, there are so many places in the world, even now, who are facing intense persecution, forced to meet underground. Many believers don't even have access to a Bible. There are ministries right now in our world who deliver Bibles secretly to places where they are illegal. You know, an underground church may receive a copy of the Word of God, and you know what they'll do? They'll take that copy of the Word, and they'll pass it around from family to family. So one family might have that Bible for a week, and what they'll do is they'll write down as much of it as they can in that week before they have to pass it on to the next family, and then they'll start memorizing that passage of Scripture, and they'll pass that Scripture on, and they'll continue to copy, and you know, it's just how valuable the Word of God is and how precious it is in those churches, and it is to us as well. So what a privilege and what a joy to be able to share God's Word together this morning. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful for your Word and that we're able to gather weekly, on a weekly basis, in fellowship and share your Word together. Thank you that we have access to your Word. And God, as we share this morning, I pray that as you promised Jeremiah, that you would watch over your word this morning, that you would speak through your word, and that you would share with us what you would have us to glean from it. In Jesus' name, amen. So much like churches I just described today, the early church was faced with many of these similar difficulties. You know, they faced very intense persecution. In many cases, they were very, very poor. They were afflicted and sometimes even faced death just because they believed in the name of Jesus. This morning, we're going to read a story about one of these churches and hopefully be encouraged by their example to us. So if you'll open up with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We'll start reading in verse 1 and through 9, and then we're going to jump over to chapter 9. And read a little bit from there. 2 Corinthians verse 8, chapter 8, verse 1. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then, by the will of God, to us. Accordingly, we urge Titus that, as he started, so he should complete among you this act of grace. But as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also. I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love also is genuine. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich. Chapter 9, starting in verse 6. The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed freely, he is given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others, while they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. Now we know the first century church was very connected with one another, seeking to meet the needs of others. In Acts chapter 2, it says, "And all the believers were together. They had all things in common, and they would sell their property and possessions and share them with all to the extent that anyone had need." In Acts chapter 4, it says, "And the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Not one of them claimed that anything belonged to him was his own, but all things were common property to them. And with great power, the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and abundant grace was upon them all. For there was not a needy person among them, for all who were owners of land or houses would sell them and bring the proceeds of the sales and lay them at the apostles' feet. And they would be distributed to each to the extent that any had need." In Acts chapter 11, it says, "Now at this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and indicated by the Spirit that there would definitely be a severe famine all over the world. And this took place in the region of Claudius. And to the extent that any of the disciples had means, each of them determined to send a contribution for the relief of the brothers and sisters living in Judea." So this same attitude was present in the Church of Macedonia. Now, Macedonia was a Roman colony, and it was located in what would be modern-day Greece today. And it included the cities of Philippi, which we read about this morning, Thessalonica, and Berea. So let's go back and look through our passage in 2 Corinthians together, and really, we're going to let the word speak for itself this morning. And while there are many lessons that we could glean from these passages, we're going to highlight four that stand out. God generously extends his grace to us, supplying us with what we need. We see God's grace in our lives, and we seek to generously extend his grace to others. And as we demonstrate God's grace to others, we are enriched, producing thanksgiving and joy in our lives and theirs. And finally, as we submit to God, spreading the grace of the gospel to others, the outcome brings glory to God. Now, the Greek word for grace is charis, and it means favor or a gift or blessing. It's primarily used in the New Testament as the Lord's favor, freely extending himself to us, or freely extending his favor to people to draw near to them. You see, it always starts with God. He is the giver of all good things. And as James says, every good and perfect gift is from above. God is a generous God, and he meets our physical needs. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, "Do not worry about what you will eat or what you will drink, for your heavenly Father knows that you need these things." Back in our passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, in verse 8, it says this, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he is distributed freely, he is given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness." You see, it's God who supplies everything that we need so that we may be sufficient in all things. God also meets our emotional needs. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our afflictions so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." In 1 Peter, it says, "Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. We also see the generosity of God in the gospel. You see, we are all created in the image of God to have a relationship with him. But sin separates us from God. In the book of Romans, it says, all of us have sinned and we all fall short of the glory of God. And the result of sin is death. On our very own, we are helpless to overcome it. And yet God, in his mercy, provided a way for us to overcome death and be brought back into a restored relationship with himself. In his generosity, he gave his only son, Jesus, to die for us. So we see this again in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. It says, we want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. You see, while we were still sinners, Jesus, the eternal Son of God, who was with God from the very beginning and had all things, he was rich in all things, he gave up everything, becoming one of us, suffering for us, dying in our place, taking on the wrath of God, and ultimately fulfilling that payment for sin. I love how it's put in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. It says this, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love which with he has loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. God's love is great, and out of the abundance of his immeasurable riches, he generously pours out his grace on us. So as we see the grace of God in our lives, we seek to generously extend his grace to others. Now, if we were looking at just outward appearances, the Macedonian church had a couple of obvious things going against them, didn't they? We see that they were deeply afflicted, going through a severe trial. There was intense persecution and suffering that was taking place in the churches of Macedonia. They were also extremely poor. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, it puts it this way. In a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and even beyond their means of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then, by the will of God, to us. So despite everything that was going on around them, despite the severe affliction that was taking place, the extreme poverty that they were going through, they were able to overflow with generosity, even giving beyond their means. What means? They were extremely poor. And yet they earnestly begged for the opportunity to give to other saints that were in need. Now, if we think about this from the world's perspective, it doesn't make any sense at all, does it? If anything, they should have been the ones who were begging for help, right? They should have been the ones who were seeking assistance from other people, not seeking opportunities to give. What a beautiful example and encouragement this church is to us. You see, the Macedonian church displays to us the appropriate response to the grace of God. When we preach the gospel to ourselves, when we set our minds on Christ, who freely gives us the gift of life, when we seek first the kingdom of God, when we fix our eyes on what is eternal, then it makes perfect sense to give generously to others. Now, in the next few verses, Paul shifts his attention to the Corinthian church, encouraging them to have that same spirit of generosity. In chapter 9, verse 6, it says, "The point is this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." Now, we've heard this very many times, haven't we? But God truly does love it when we give joyfully, not out of compulsion, not because it's something that we have to do, but freely. We freely give as he has freely given to us. This is really a theme throughout all of Scripture. As God extends his grace to us when we are in relationship with him, we extend that grace to others, and we become a blessing to those who are around us. We see it with Abraham, and you notice Lot, that Lot is attached to Abraham, and because he's with Abraham, he is blessed. We see it with Jacob, and when he travels and he visits his relatives, and Laban, who was not a believer, was blessed, and Laban even recognized, it says, that he was blessed because he was attached to Jacob. We see it with Joseph, and even as his brothers had thrown him into the pit and sold him into slavery into Egypt, yet he continued to trust in God, and God raised him up into a position where he was second highest in the entire kingdom, only to Pharaoh, and he became a blessing even to the foreign nation of Egypt and the nations around him because he was extending that grace of God to others. God is doing that through both of us, and I am so thankful for our church. You see, he's using us, I believe, as individuals and as a church for his glory. So I hope to encourage you this morning to continue to use what you've been given by God for his kingdom. You see, God has richly blessed each one of us here, and maybe we don't always recognize those things, but he truly has. So how can we continue together as a church to generously give? If you'll turn with me to Romans chapter 12, there's many examples that Paul puts out here. We'll start in verse 6. Romans chapter 12, verse 6. It says this, "Having gifts that differ according to the grace given us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil, and hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal, but be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints, and seek to show hospitality." There are so many ways in which we can give and in which we can generously give from what God has given us. We can give with our money. As God has blessed us financially, we can give from our means. And we notice here, even in this Macedonian church, that they were extremely poor, and yet they sought to give. Maybe it's even giving above our means at times, wherever God leads us, because there's never a regret when we invest in the kingdom of God. It could be meeting a need in your family, a friend, meeting a need in the church, contributing to missions. Not something that's out of compulsion, but giving cheerfully. We can serve with our time. We can give by serving others, serving the church. There are many opportunities to volunteer. I encourage you to get involved. Share your gifts with others. We can give encouragement and comfort simply by looking around us and recognizing the needs that are in others. We can share in our hospitality, sharing life in fellowship with one another. You know, and when you share life with people and you get to know them and you see the needs that they have, you know, there's opportunities there for prayer. We can pray for each other. And this can extend even beyond, you know, our church friends. This goes into to people that we're around in life and at work. You know, and sometimes what I've found is even when you're around people that aren't necessarily believers, very rarely will someone turn down an opportunity when you say, hey, is there something that I can pray for you about? And a lot of times that's something that can open up a door, and giving that generosity and seeing that you care about them, you know, that's a great opportunity. I came across a story a few years ago about a church fundraiser that happened in Chicago. A large bin was placed on a sidewalk and a sign above it that read, "What will you give to the king?" Now, this was around Christmas time, and a homeless man was walking by reading the sign, and he stopped, thinking about what it said. He continued on, but after a while, he came back, stopping again. He ruffled through his pockets, but they were empty. But he wanted to give something, the sign, what do you want to give to the king? What will you give to the king? It was striking him. Wanting to give something but having nothing to give, he began to walk slowly away. But suddenly, he turned back, and he ended up climbing into the bin, exclaiming, "I will give of myself." Have you ever felt like you have nothing to offer? That you have nothing to give? You look around at other people and you think of the things that they have, and they have so many better things to offer. It's so easy to feel that way, especially when we're fixed only on our circumstances. But when we truly seek first the kingdom of God, recognizing the kindness that he has extended to us, the gifts that he's lavished on us, the outcome is a life of generous giving. Which leads us to the third point. As we demonstrate God's grace to others, we are enriched, producing thanksgiving and joy in our lives and theirs. If we continue on in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, starting in verse 10, it says this: "He who supplies the seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God." You see, God is the supplier of everything that we have. And as we freely give, just as we have freely received, it leads to thanksgiving to God. When Jaron was about 7 years old, we decided to encourage him to think about other people in need. And we wanted to provide him an opportunity for him to give. We'd gotten this brochure from Gospel for Asia, and inside there were a variety of things that you could buy, which would help a family or a community that were in need, while at the same time sharing the good news of the gospel with those families. You could buy things like chickens for $20. You could buy maybe a bicycle for $75. You could buy a sewing machine for $100. So we told Jaron, pick something out of this brochure that we could donate to these people. Well, Jaron decided that he really wanted to donate a water buffalo. Now, the water buffalo wasn't quite in that, you know, $20 to $100 range that we were kind of thinking. It was approaching $500, which was a bit more than what we were thinking. But he was so excited about it that Jenny said, "Well, okay." So she offered these $10 haircuts for a period of a month to help raise money towards this water buffalo. And people came for haircuts. Over the course of that month, we witnessed people excited to give generously, donating at times well over the $10 that was suggested as a donation. And by the end of the month, nearly $1,000 had been raised. Boy, was Jaron excited. We bought the water buffalo, but there was still almost $500 left over. What were we going to do with that? We had some friends who were adopting a child overseas. So Jenny and Jaron thought, well, let's bring the remaining money over to them. They brought it over, and Jaron's friend was so excited and so thankful for that gift. In fact, it was the amount of money that they were needing left for that adoption. And we were thankful. It was truly a blessing to see God provide well above what had been asked for. And it was a joy to see the hearts of others give and for us to be able to give where there were needs. Finally, as we submit to God, spreading the grace of the gospel to others, the outcome brings glory to God. 2 Corinthians 9, starting in verse 13, it says, "By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ. And the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others, while they long for you and pray for you, because of the surpassing grace of God upon you, thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift." Now, that story we just shared, we actually saw that happen as well. You know, God was glorified in it, but it also provided us opportunities to share the gospel with others. A lot of those people that came and donated and came with, for those haircuts, they weren't believers. Even some of them were people we hadn't seen in years and years and years, and yet they were so intrigued by, well, what's driving you to do this? To raise $500 to send a buffalo to a family in Asia. And, you know, presented that opportunity to share the gospel with others. We are all called to be witnesses of Jesus Christ. And as recipients of his grace, when we live lives of generosity, it is a testimony to those who are around us. It provides for us an opportunity to share the hope of the gospel with them. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says this, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Your light must shine before people in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." We'll close with this in 1 Peter chapter 4. "Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the multifaceted grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking actual words of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength with which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful that you are a generous God. How wonderful is your kindness toward us, that while we were dead in our sin, you, being rich in love, sent your Son to die in our place, providing life to all who place their trust in you. And you have blessed us with every spiritual blessing, and in your grace have given us gifts. Oh God, let us not take lightly your love toward us, and each of us have been recipients of your grace. Let us strive to generously share your love with those around us. Father, let us sow bountifully, not reluctantly, but with joy, as we recognize that you are the one who supplies the seed. Increase the harvest, O Lord, as we see your love in us. Let us be quick and ready to share the good news of the gospel to those who are lost. May you be glorified in each of our lives and continue to be glorified in your church. In Jesus' name, amen.